Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
There we go. We Don't Need Another Hero, sung by Tina Turner. That was for the soundtrack of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, a film in which Tina Turner also starred alongside Mel Gibson. Born Anna Mae Bullock in rural Tennessee, Tina Turner has died at the age of 83 after a singing career that lasted almost 70 years. And joining me now to pay tribute to the Queen of Rock, our broadcaster Dave Fanning, and singer Rebecca O'Connor, who's currently on tour with her Simply the Best Tina Turner tribute show. And you're both welcome to the programme. Dave, where does Tina Turner stand in the pantheon of music stars?
Well, I mean, you just said 70. I mean, like you know, there was a chart hit in America in the late 50s, like in Tina. So she's had chart hits 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, noughts, tens. And in fact, Kygo has a remix of What's Love Got to Do With It in the UK top 40 about 2 years ago. So is that 8 decades or something?
Yeah,
it's just astonishing. Because nobody has ever done anything like that. The thing about it is you know, the big song, obviously, what happened to her, the comeback in the 1980s, and she had a song called What's Love Got to Do With It, and it's the one that everybody knows, and it is her kind of, I don't know how you put it, it's her theme song, if you like. But it's her theme song because people knew that the person that was singing this song had lived it all. It's a cynical kind of love song. There's pain in it, there's experience in it. She really lived the pain, she really lived the experience. She's very weary in the first part, she's defiant in the kind of chorus, and that sums up who she is, magnetic and charismatic, and she was always able to do that. And this is her theme song, and as somebody very well put it, it's her theme song for a reason. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that it is. But by the way, it was perfect mainstream pop as well. It wasn't really my kind of thing because it was the sound of the time was synth-based, and you could really do, I mean, seriously, there's dodgy reggae in it, the synthesized pan pipes, for God's sake. But it worked, and it was right for the time. And luckily, she always had this thing of going with people who were good at what they did, and she knew she was good at what she did, and she had really good people around her, a bunch of English people, and particularly the guy from the record company who said, we'll take our time, we'll get this right. And the album now has ended up in the kind of, you know, the Library of Congress in the US as being a culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant album. It worked, and everybody was delighted. It was the greatest comeback since Lazarus. It really was.
And Tina performed in Ireland, but it's been, I think it was about 14 years ago when she played her last gig, back in 2009. The Irish gigs were always huge, though. She had a really big following here.
Yeah, I only saw her once. I saw her one of those gigs, actually. She played about four gigs at the O2 Three Arena, as it is now. In fact, funny thing about the Three Arena is that I was there two nights ago for a Creedence Clearwater Revival for John Fogerty, and he just went through all his hits, including a song that is, many people would say, is Tina Turner's greatest, because the one rolling on the river, it's called Proud Mary. And it was like the whole audience is going mad for it, and then whatever. But like, I mean, she had a lot of songs which she made her own. I mean, I'm sure Paul Brady might say The Paradise Is Here is Tina's now, or Steel Claw, and all of these things, you know, because she's done a lot of songs from other people as well. Like, in fact, around that time, the early 80s, when she came back, Let's Stay Together, the Al Green song, she made it her own, it became a hit. And all of that, it just all fed into the thing of like, that if Michael Jackson was the king of pop in the 80s, then she was the queen of pop.
There was a two-part documentary on Sky a couple of years ago, and the sense you got from it was, despite all of that awful adversity that she faced, she was a very smart businesswoman. She was, you said it there, really good at finding the right producers. She went with the tide, really, in the 80s and went for that style of music that was doing really well, despite where she had come from and the R&B roots. So she followed the business nose, didn't she?
She did, but she didn't follow it too well for a while, because the 1970s, she had to get rid of the toxic husband she was married to, an awful man, Ike Turner. And also one of her biggest songs, one of the greatest songs of the 1960s, is River Deep, Mountain High. And the production on that was astounding. It was absolutely fantastic. The problem is, it was by Phil Spector, another abusive madman. So she really didn't do too well on that score, on the personal life. And she was picking cotton, like, at the age of 10, 11 and 12 in the small place of Nutbush in Tennessee, where she grew up. And of course, one of her biggest songs is called Nutbush City Limits. Mm-hmm. But she then went to, did a bit of Vegas, and of course everybody wants to go and see her. Mick Jagger, who channels his inner Tina every 5 minutes, he went, David Bowie went, Elvis Presley went before he died, Elton John, they all wanted to see her, but she wasn't doing much until the early 80s, and she crept back in, and then boom, biggest thing around.
Now, Rebecca, I want to bring you in here. Your performance, I said, in Simply the Best as Tina Turner. You've been performing as Tina, I know, for many, many years. It must be a really sad day for you, is it?
Absolutely. I'm devastated. The rest of the world. Yeah, she's an inspiration, powerhouse, fantastic woman, yeah.
And what drew you to Tina in the first place and led you into the career that you have?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm black Irish, so Irish Jamaican. So growing up, I was the only black girl in the village. So she really resonated with me, and I think to an awful lot of other women of colour as well back in the day. And then we went on to be just an iconic legend to me. But it started.
And when you first heard Tina, can you remember what that connection was like for you?
Oh, it was huge. I actually saw her on the television, in black and white television, and she was singing, and I just thought it was the hair, the big hair and the big heels and
yeah, it's just the power, the power in her performance. And Dave mentioned her gigs in 2009 in The Point as it was. And I saw her then, and I was trying to work out how old she was then. I think she was coming up to her late 60s at that point. And she still had that real, really physical performance at that time, didn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, her last world tour was when she was 70. So yeah, she's phenomenal.
And you know more than most what it takes to get to that point of the performance, where not only are you singing in the way that she does with all of that power, but you're also doing the other side of it, the physical performance.
It's very physical, yeah. It's full on. And then there's a lot of acting and the entertainment side. And yeah, and the voice is big enough then as well. She's jack of all trades, really, isn't she?
What's your favourite song of hers to perform, Rebecca?
I do love Beyond the Thunderdome, We Don't Need Another Hero. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. And then the obvious ones are Proud Mary, Simply the Best. And yeah, but I mean, most of her songs are anthems anyway, you know. They're all very full-on powerful songs.
I couldn't tempt you to give us a little blast of something that comes to mind this morning. Go on. Just as you think about her this morning, is there something that comes to mind that you think might be fitting?
Oh my God.
I'm putting you on the spot now. I know.
You're putting me on the spot.
You can do it, Rebecca. Channel your inner Tina and give us a blast.
We don't need another hero. There you go.
Is that it? Is that all we're getting?
That's it.
Thanks so much, Rebecca. You're touring Ireland. God. You're touring Ireland, aren't you, with the show right now?
We came in from Australia about a month ago, so we're on tour. We're halfway through the tour at the moment, so it's going really well.
And listen, one more thing. You didn't get to meet her, unfortunately, but she did endorse your show, didn't she? How did that come about?
Well, my manager is Dennis Dunstan. He managed Fleetwood Mac for 23 years. And then he's from Australia. And then Tina's manager is Roger Davies, and he managed Tina. So he's Australian. So the two of them grew up together, knowing each other between the Mac and Tina. And basically, Dennis gave one of my CDs to Roger Davies. Roger Davies gave it on to Tina Turner. And Tina came back and said,
she thought it was herself singing. And she said, Rebecca's so good, it's scary. If I had her energy today, I'd still be touring. So that has been the biggest compliment of my entire life, you know.
I can imagine. That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
Iconic lady, yeah.
Well, look, the website is Rebecca O'Connor, simplythebest.com, and there are lots of dates on there and the full list on Rebecca's website if you want to go and see her. Dave, just to come back to you and to finish, the Queen of Rock and Roll, that's what people called her. Did she, it's just hard, I think, and especially having listened to you this morning, it's hard to categorise her music as rock and roll, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't particularly, certainly not the stuff that made her famous in the 1980s. I mean, it was very slick. I mean, I don't mean that. Like, if, when people look back on the decades, I mean, I think 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, frankly, I think the music of the 80s is probably the worst. It's just too synth-based and it's just too kind of properly, perfectly produced. It's, there's no rawness. And she was raw all the way through, and a bit of that was taken away, but I never give out about that because she was kind of reinvented, if you like, as a diva. I mean, it wasn't, and by the way, I mean that in a good way, it wasn't the same as, say, Diana Ross of the Supremes, who slunk into kind of the diva thing, and she was just placed in there, and it was all a bit, I don't know, but anyway, look, it was huge, it was fantastic and sold well, and you couldn't go anywhere near MTV in the 1980s without coming across Tina all the time, and nobody would begrudge her any of the success that she got, because she was still charismatic and still magnetic. Doesn't matter what music she was singing. I wouldn't have called it rock and roll.
Yeah, and even, you know, in the documentary, when you see her living that very luxurious life in Switzerland, you're going, do you know what? You earned that and you deserve it.
Well, actually, funny you should say that, because in the 60 Minutes programme on television, your man goes, listen, you feel like you deserve all this. He says, I deserve more. And she's right. She had a terrible life. She really did. Like, how she said herself, it's the simple rock and roll thing to use rock and roll. It's about keeping on, keeping on. She had a terrible life and she just kept going.
Dave, thank you very much. Dave Fanning there and Rebecca O'Connor, who performs as Simply the Best in Simply the Best as Tina Turner. Coming up next, the Gardaí are going to Disneyland. Find out why after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.